In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
It's very good on this third Sunday of Trinity. I'm hoping very much that this will be the last Sunday service we gather around this table, but I will say more of that later on in the notices. But all the same, it's good to welcome everyone with us as we prepare to worship. I ask you to keep in mind today all those who are being welcomed into churches in different parts of the country, who would have been ordained this weekend but are now entering in a different arrangement until their ordinations can take place. But as we prepare to worship, let's ask for God's forgiveness and call to mind all those things of which we... And so we'll follow the usual pattern. Gathered together as God's family, let us ask forgiveness from our Heavenly Father, for he is full of gentleness and compassion.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon us. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And so as forgiven people, we join together to praise God in the words of the Gloria.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only come, Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, make away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, you receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One,
you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the help of God, the glory of God's Father.
Amen. We pray to him in peace. Almighty God, you have broken the tyranny of sin and have sent the Spirit of your Son into our hearts, whereby we call you Father. Give us grace to dedicate our freedom to your service, that we and all creation may be brought to the glorious liberty of the children of God. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And now we're going to hear our first reading, and I believe that Bevan is going to read that for us.
A reading from the prophet Jeremiah. Then the prophet Jeremiah spoke to the prophet Ananias in the presence of the priests, of all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah says, Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord fulfill the words that you have prophesied and bring back to this place from Babylon the vessel of the house of the Lord and all the exiled. But listen now to this word that I spake in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people, the prophets who precede you and me from ancient time, prophesied war, famine, and pestilence against many countries and great kingdoms. As for the prophet who prophesied peace, when the word of that prophet come true, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, alleluia. I am the way, the truth, and the life, says the Lord. No one comes to the Father except through me. Alleluia.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the 12, Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, O Christ. May I speak in the name of the living God, who is our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sustainer. Amen. Jesus said to the 12, Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. If we were ever in doubt that it's part of our Christian calling to be hospitable, our gospel reading today has Jesus expressing the importance of welcoming those who come in his name. Because whoever welcomes those who he sends welcomes him, and also welcomes the Father who sent him. And although this is a very short gospel reading with just three verses, Jesus introduces three quite important ideas. The importance of welcoming, the importance of accepting hospitality, and what this can mean in terms of discipleship. And we'll begin with that bit about the discipleship first. Imagine that you've booked seats at the theatre to go and see a play or a musical. And you've been particularly keen to go to this production because it stars one of your favourite actors from TV. But when you get there, you see a notice that says that in tonight's performance, the starring role is going to be played by another actor. What you're getting is not your favourite TV personality, but you're getting the understudy. But then imagine that you've settled down in your seat and you discover that the actor who plays the part is actually pretty good, and that you enjoy the play just as much as if the familiar star had been in it. Maybe you might even have enjoyed it more because you weren't thinking of what they were like in EastEnders or whatever else it was you saw them in. Jesus is sending out his understudies, his little ones. And while last week we heard about all the problems that they would be likely to face on their travels, In these three verses, he offers them reassurance that amongst the many who will ignore them, there will also be many others who will welcome them, that they will receive blessings in their work. And for people of faith, when time gets hard, that's important. And for those who were welcoming them, the disciples, it's just as if they're welcoming Jesus in person, and that by welcoming Jesus, they welcome the Father who sent him. And this wasn't an unknown idea. The Jews had a strong tradition of receiving the representative of a person as if they were receiving the person himself, a bit like an ambassador. So welcoming the representative of a prophet or of a righteous person is just as good as welcoming the prophet or the righteous one in person, and they should be treated as well. And now Jesus says the same applies to whoever offers the smallest amount of hospitality to one of Jesus's disciples. Now they may feel and seem to others quite unimportant people, but nevertheless, they are to be treated as if they were Christ themselves. And that may seem very surprising to the disciples, that they're not simply to go out and tell others about Jesus in the way that you tell people about other good things, but they are in fact to be his ambassadors. And further than that, those who offer that smallest of welcomes to the disciples, because they are the ambassadors of Christ, will be valued themselves just as much as the disciples, because they've welcomed Christ and the Father who sent him. And the disciples also can be confident that what they're doing is no less important than if Jesus had been there himself. They're doing important work in helping others to welcome God into their hearts and into their homes. So what does it mean to offer Christian hospitality? It's a question that I think churches reflect on all the time. And as it happens, I've been puzzling over that as the lockdown first forced us to think deeply about our approach to worship and ministry and it being hospitable. And now, on how we can prepare to welcome a congregation back for Sunday worship, which, as I said at the beginning, we hope will be very soon, possibly next week. I'm very aware that that welcome, when it can happen, will be accompanied by many restrictions. As we prepared the church to allow visitors to come for private prayer, it was quite sad to see us putting around the building so many no entry signs, to be blocking off whole areas of the church for access, to be blocking off pews, to be having a list of do's and don'ts to visitors, and saying that we could only allow the toilets to be used in cases of emergency. All these things seem quite unfriendly and quite inhospitable. And of course, if you've been into church or you'll have seen the photographs, you'll see that we've done our very best to make it as attractive as we can. And no doubt this week we'll be going through the whole thing again, because it will be very different welcoming a congregation to welcoming individuals. We'll have to work out how our worship can happen so that we can all stay safe while we enjoy our meeting with God in the place that we set aside for prayer and worship, and so that as many people as we can possibly accommodate safely can come. And of course, part of that hospitality will involve thinking afresh about how we support those of you who will not be able to come out to church in person to still be present with us and part of the service. And that's going to take some time and effort, but But that's exactly what true hospitality and welcome is about. It's about helping you to take your part in the life of worship while keeping you all as safe as we possibly can. It's about thinking of the needs of the people who are invited in, rather than what we would ideally like it to be. And this brings me to the words of one of my favourite hymns, and I think this is, you can hear this hymn on the website afterwards if you want to, about building church community. It's that hymn that goes, "Let us build a house where love can dwell and all can safely live. A place where saints, that's all of us, and children tell how hearts learn to forgive. Built of hopes and dreams and visions, rock of faith and vault of grace. Here, in our homes, in our church building, wherever we are, the love of Christ will end divisions. All are welcome. All are welcome. All are welcome in this place." Our welcome in the coming weeks will be to allow once again our being together to learn, to dream, to pray, and to love in a way that allows us to do this safely. Not just for ourselves, but also for the benefit of those who we may carry virus to, should we be silently affected by it. That we'll be hospitable towards those who we might meet on a bus or in other places. But as important as it is for us to offer welcome, and to be honest, that for many of us is the easy bit because we can do something about it, much harder for many of us is the acceptance of hospitality from others. And that is really what Jesus is telling the disciples that they must do. They've got to go out being dependent on the kindness of strangers. And that reliance on others can be quite difficult for us in a world where we're taught that looking after yourself, that being independent is really important. Where we feel pride at being independent, where we much prefer to be the person in control of the situation, where we don't like to feel dependent on others. And yet the way of life for everyone, and particularly for Christians, is that we must be. Because as Jesus' disciples make their way, if they decline the hospitality of others, then they deprive those others of the opportunity to welcome them in the name of Christ, to welcome Christ, to welcome his Heavenly Father into the homes and into the lives. And more than that, because if those disciples decline the love of someone who reaches out to them through love of God, they decline for themselves the welcome of God. And that idea of not just giving, but being gracious receivers brings me to the beginning of another of my favourite hymns. You can probably guess what's coming. "Brother, sister, let me serve you. Let me be as Christ to you." That's great. We all like to do that if we can. But the end of that verse goes, "Pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant too." In these sometimes complex relationships of host and guest, of welcomer and welcomed, of giver and receiver, we're reminded that in God's sight, all those who engage in this welcome of his word through actions and words are valued and received the same. Whether our God-given gifts and skills are highly valued by worldly standards, or whether they're seen as unimportant, they're all given by God, and our use of them in embracing one another is loved and valued by him. And so as we prepare to rethink our welcoming of one another into our space of worship, we should ask God to help us always remember that in his love, all are blessed. All have their place in his kingdom of love. All are welcomed in not our place, but his place. Amen. Now we're going to declare our faith in the God who welcomes us all, as Leonora leads us in saying the words of the Creed.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he suffered under Pontius Pilate. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
So now we come to our intercessions, which are going to be led to us today by Eddie.
The response to the bidding, Lord, hear us, is Lord, graciously hear us. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, mercifully hear the prayers of your people who call upon you now, as we pray for your church and for the world. Fill us, gracious Lord, with gratitude as we remember your goodness, with penitence as we remember our sins, and with joy as we remember your love through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord God, we pray for the unity of your church throughout the world, that it may be bound together in obedience to you, and that it may be united in the one body by the one Spirit through Jesus Christ our Lord. We bring before you, Lord, the multitudes who have been created in your name, but have not known the redeeming work of our Saviour Jesus Christ. Grant by the prayers and labours of your Holy Church, they may be guided to know and worship you, as you have been revealed in your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray that people of all faiths may enjoy the freedom to express their beliefs with conviction and integrity, that the Church may perform a reconciling ministry in a world divided by suspicion and misunderstanding. Bring healing, good Lord, to those places where religious intolerance undermines human integrity. We pray for the unfailing guidance of the Holy Spirit on those who are called to minister to our needs, and especially on our ministers, on Alison, our vicar, Alistair, our curate, and Leonora, our reader. Lord, hear us.
Lord,
graciously hear us. God of hope, you made the world and care for all creation. We pray for the nations of this fractured world, for all victims of persecution and discrimination of any kind, for reconciliation between the races, especially in countries where different races live side by side. Help us to see others through your eyes. May the principle of equal opportunity be accepted everywhere, and may the Christ who once reconciled Jew and Gentile, slave and free man into one body, continue to break down the barriers which divide us. We pray, good Lord, for all who are affected by the coronavirus through illness, isolation, or anxiety, that they may find relief and recovery from this dreaded disease. We pray for the NHS, for doctors, nurses, and allied professions who work tirelessly to provide care for those in need, and for the medical researchers seeking methods to ameliorate the severity of this highly infectious virus. We pray for the leaders of our country and all who make decisions and shape national policies on our behalf, that they may be guided by the Spirit to direct our affairs in righteousness and peace. Lord, hear us.
Lord,
graciously hear us.
Merciful God, we entrust to your tender care those who are ill or are in pain. Give hope and courage, we pray, to all who suffer in body, mind, or spirit, and fill them with the assurance of your unfailing mercy. Strengthen them in the work of their recovery, and grant them, good Lord, health of body and soundness of mind, that in wholeness of being they may glorify your name. Give patient understanding and persevering love to those who care for them, and grant wisdom to all who work to discover the cause of disease, especially at this time as the world is preoccupied with finding a cure for the COVID-19 virus. We ask this in the name of him who went about doing good deeds, and healing all manner of sickness, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord, hear us.
Lord,
graciously hear us.
We pray for the isolated and the housebound, that we may be able, that we may be alert to their needs and care for them in their vulnerability. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously
hear us. God of consolation, in your unending love and mercy, you turn the darkness of death into the dawn of new life. Look with compassion on all who mourn the loss of a loved one, whether recently or as each anniversary is brought to mind. Lift them from the darkness of grief to the peace and light of your presence. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
Finally, we pray for ourselves, for our families, and for our friends. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of life and for all the blessings you have so freely bestowed upon us. Help us to recognize your hand in the ordinary things of life. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger. And be compassionate, Lord, if through our weakness and human frailty we should falter. Help us to live each day in the light of the risen Christ. We pray for our local community and all its homes, for our schools and all other places of learning. May true knowledge, sound wisdom, and godly discipline always be found. Lord, hear us.
Lord, most graciously hear us.
Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
God is love, and those who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Offer one another a word or a sign of God's peace.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with everyone.
Peace be with you.
The grain once scattered in the fields, and the grapes once dispersed on the hillside, are now reunited on this table in bread and wine. So, Lord, may your whole church soon be gathered together from the corners of the earth into your kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord is here.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right.
Made the world and love your creation. You gave your Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Saviour. His dying and rising have set us free from sin and death. And now we give you thanks, because you are the source of light and life. You made us in your image and called us to new life in him. And so we gladly thank you, with saints and angels praising you and saying, Holy, 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 praise and bless you, loving Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we obey his command, send your Holy Spirit, that broken bread and wine outpoured may be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. On the night before he died, he had supper with his friends, and taking bread, he praised you. He broke the bread, gave it to them, and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When supper was ended, he took the cup of wine. Again, he praised you. He gave it to them and said, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. So, Father, we remember all that Jesus did. In him we plead with confidence his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross. Bringing before you the bread of life and cup of salvation, we proclaim his death and resurrection until he comes in glory. Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Lord of all life, help us to work together for that day when your kingdom comes and justice and mercy will be seen in all the earth. Look with favour on your people, gather us in your loving arms and bring us with all the saints to feast at your table in heaven. Through Christ, and with Christ, and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory are yours, O loving Father, for ever and ever.
Amen.
You love, and Aaron, you two like staying up late.
As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lead us today
our daily bread,
and lead us not into temptation,
as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Amen.
Even the prophet will change sometimes.
Body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word, and I shall be healed. Body of Christ, keep me in eternal life. The blood of Christ. Body of Christ, keep you in eternal life.
O Lord Jesus Christ, since I cannot now receive you sacramentally, I pray that you would come spiritually to my soul. Come, Lord Jesus, come and cleanse me, heal me, strengthen me, and unite me to yourself now and forevermore. Amen. O God, whose beauty is beyond our imagining, and whose power we cannot comprehend, show us your glory as far as we can grasp it, and shield us from knowing more than we can bear, until we may look upon you without fear. Through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen.
So, as I said at the beginning of this service, as we come to our notices, I'm hoping very much that we will be able to be back in church next Sunday. We still haven't got guidelines from the church via the government, or the government via the church. So we're not entirely sure at the moment under what circumstances we can do that. We don't know whether there will be limits on numbers. We don't know what the restrictions will be in terms of communion, although we've probably got some ideas in terms of a lot of the things. So during this week, we will be preparing for that, and you will know what is happening because we will let you know through our usual channels, and we'll be grateful for you to let others who do not join us or who are not on email know about that. I'm sorry I can't be more definite at the moment. I really hope that we would be, but such is life. And it would be wonderful if we could see you in person next week, but if not, we will continue as we have been, and we shall enjoy being in the presence of God all the same. This week we will be using, we'll use the same pattern of having the church open for 1 hour each day. You are very welcome to come along to that time to come and sit in church quietly and say a prayer. And equally, you're very welcome to come and sit in the garden if two or three of you want to gather together, socially distanced in the garden of the church. You are most welcome to do that. And if any of you would like a conversation with myself or with Alistair about any pastoral matter, then again, you are most welcome to call us and to ask us for that. I don't think there's anything much to say in addition to what we've been saying every week, really. But it's been good to be with you this morning. And so we'll close and we'll part from this service using a blessing from God. And so may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you and all those who you love and pray for this day and always. Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ.
Amen. Amen.